Good morning. How's everyone doing today? Wonderful. Welcome to First United Methodist Church, Irwin. We're gathering to worship and praise the Almighty God. Jesus has risen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we gather here today, open our hearts and our minds so that we may hear and understand what it is that you want us to do, what you need us to do, and what you wish us to do. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
Good morning. As you're making your way to your seats, I'd like to share with you some moments of informality. First of all, let's start with our memory verse. If you'd look on the top of your bulletin, and we will say it twice. Please say it with me. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. How many of you can do that now with your eyes closed? Just checking. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Yeah, it's a memory verse. You get it's the end of the month. Okay. Are you awake? I see some smiles and some waves. Okay, that's good. We offer a warm welcome to everyone worshiping with us today. If there are any visitors, we ask that you see Chris or I after the service or one of the ushers. We can get you some information about the church. We're very glad that you came to worship with us today. Those of you look around and you see, I see a lot of wood. So if you see someone who usually sits on that empty piece of wood next to you and they're not here, give them a call this week and let them know that they were missed. And if you find out that they are in need of pastoral attention, just let us know. Perhaps they're sick or there's some other problem. Please let us know. There are red folders in the each of the pews. We ask that you fill them out, pass them to the end of the pew. And then, this is tricky. After it gets to the end of the pew, pass it back and look at the names in case you don't know the person that's sharing the pew with you. That brings up another thought that's not even in the bulletin, the directory. How many of you have used the directory app on your phone or whatever? Only a few people. My goodness, you're missing out. If you have a smartphone, if you have a tablet, if you have your computer at home, you can get the directory on that so that instead of having to thumb through a page to get somebody's phone number or their address, just look at your phone or tablet or computer. Now, if you gave us an email address, you got an email that gave you a code to use that app. If you did not give us an email, you did not get a code. However, I have them. So if you will email me or email at the church office and they will pass it on, I will send you your code so that you can get it. Please make use of it. It's a new technology that really helps in communication. Also, if you did not have your picture made for the directory, people don't know what you look like. So if on your phone or your tablet or your computer, you have a digital image of you, if you would then email that to me and I can put it on the app so people know who you are. It's especially important now that we essentially have three congregations, the 8:15, the 10:45, and the Saturday night. It's essential that we learn all of the members of our family so we don't have to say, hey, you. Okay. Mother's Day flowers, the geraniums order is in your bulletin. Today is the deadline. Mother's Day coming so close to Easter makes it kind of tough. So make sure that you turn that in with a check for your payment today. Also, there's a Mother's Day banquet on the 11th. Dawn is going to be selling tickets, I believe, Dawn, right? Outside in the narthex. Okay, so you need to look for her and get your tickets for the mother-daughter banquet. If you ordered anything from the camp fundraiser, the hoagies, the pizzas, or the pepperoni rolls, someone will be in the assembly room after the service to give you those. And next Sunday, it says on there, next Sunday, May 5th. Don't get confused. Next Sunday is still the 6th. We did not put a 31st day in April. So there is a spud bar next week, a takeout spud bar. And the children's collection today is going to Laundry Love, or Love Laundry. For those of you who do not know what that is, it's down on Main Street, closer to the Presbyterian Church, and it's a time for those people who perhaps cannot afford to put the quarters in the machines. If they come, laundry soap, dryer sheets, quarters for the machines are all provided for them on different days of the week. So we ask that you be generous. We're co-sponsoring this with several other churches. Are there any other announcements? If not, let's continue with our worship.
Let's now stand and join in the call to worship. You asked for my hands that you might use them for your purpose.
I gave them for a moment, then withdrew them for the work of hard.
You asked for my mouth to speak out against injustice.
I gave you a whisper that I might not be accused.
You asked for my eyes to see the pain of poverty. You asked for my life, that you might work through me.
I gave a small heart, that I might not get to you at all.
Father, forgive me, renew me, send me out as a usable instrument, that I might take seriously the meaning of your cross. Let's now join our voices in singing number 270, He is Exalted, in the Black Hymnal.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Hello.
How are you all doing today? Who loves you? That's right. Jesus loves you, and so do I. So, have you ever been at home with a babysitter or maybe your grandparents or whatever, and mom and dad left to go do something? How do you feel when that happens? Do you miss them? You get excited and you miss them. Sometimes, I know at times, even when I got older and was left home alone and all that, when mom and dad left to go to work or to go do something, you know, at first I kind of felt kind of nervous, worried, you know, missed them a little bit. And after a while, I kind of like started like, oh, this is neat. This is cool. It's going to be fun. Well, guess what? The disciples did the same thing. You know, when Jesus was crucified, they had been there the whole time with him throughout his trial, throughout him being crucified, throughout him being placed in the tomb. And at that time, they were all locked up in a room. Why do you think they were locked in a room? Anyone? They were all locked up in a room because they were afraid. They were really worried. You know, here, their friend, their teacher, their father wasn't with them anymore. And they were anxious. They didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know that everything was going to be all right, even though they had been told that it would be fine. They weren't sure. They thought for sure that someone was going to come breaking those doors down, capture them all, and kill them for following Jesus. They were really afraid. But you know what happened in the middle of all that fear? Jesus appeared right in the middle of them, through locked doors, just right in the middle, and said, hey, I told you it'd be all right. We got this. I'm back. I'm here with you. And they were all happy. And they started to celebrate because Jesus came back. You celebrate when your parents come back, don't you? Uh-oh. Hannah's up here kind of like, I'm not going to answer this. I'm sure at some point when your dad or your mom walks in, you're like, oh, hey, nice to see you. I'm glad you're back. Well, no matter what you fear, no matter how desperate it looks, no matter how bad it looks, just remember that Jesus is always there with you, and he'll always come to you, no matter where you're at. He'll help you out, just like your parents would. He'll help you and keep you safe, and he'll be right by your side. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we get afraid. Sometimes we forget that you're always with us. Help us keep that in the forefront of our mind, that you are always near, that we can always call on you, and that you will always be there for us. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's Word of God comes from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teachings, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on the tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. This is the word of God for the people of God. At this time, I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward for God's tithes and our offerings. God of mercy and grace, we bring our offerings to you this day, confessing that even those of us who give the most are guilty of holding back, of keeping our cards close to our vest, of locking away in a secret room that which we could give, but we have deemed as too costly to share. In this room, we've kept our insecurities, our doubts, our feelings of unworthiness, and our suspicions that this Easter promise is just too good to be true for us. This morning, we are reminded that your risen Son loves to enter locked rooms and doesn't always knock, ring, text, or wait for the door to be opened. So we give our gifts and invite Jesus to visit our locked rooms, leave his peace, and send us forth to be about your work. In the powerful name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. seated.
I'm going to mention a correction here to the bulletin. Where it says we express our Christian sympathy to Sandy Pretty and her family for the passing of her daughter, it says Kim there, it's Amy that passed away. So does anyone have any joys that they wish to share? Tristan?
Music?
Yeah. Nobody's happy? Seriously? Come on. Go ahead.
Heather is announcing, my daughter Heather is announcing in her church today that both she and her fiance will be starting new churches July 1st. They're moving to Galleon, Ohio, probably in the middle of nowhere, but it's somewhere west of Manchester, or west of Mansfield. It gives you an idea, but she's glad to finally know where she's moving to. Thank you.
Along with new jobs, there's a joy for Vanessa, who also acquired a new job. And I heard sunshine from the back of the room. Any other joys? I'm sorry?
It's Caleb's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. How old? 14? Awesome.
Indoor plumbing.
All right, Hunter graduates next week. And for our joys, we say, praise the Lord. Does anyone have any concerns that they wish to share? Okay. Keep continued prayers for Hunter as he continues to look at grad school. I also was handed a couple of cards here. Prayers are needed for Tim, for Lori and her health, and Stephanie for cancer. Are there any other concerns? There was recently a shooting at a synagogue in California, so we want to keep the families, the victims, and those involved in our prayers. The Middlemiss family, we want to keep them in our prayers. Are there any others? And for our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we gather here today in your presence to worship and praise your almighty and holy name. But as we come, we bring with us many things. We bring with us joys and celebrations, and oftentimes we forget to include you in the celebration. We forget to thank you. Lord, here and today, we thank you for all that you have done for us, for all that you have provided for us, for all of your companionship, for everything that you do. Thank you. We also bring with us many things that trouble us, that weigh on our hearts, that concern us. We've lifted up some names, Lord, but we also know that you see into our hearts and our minds and know exactly the unvoiced concerns that we have. And we know that you know how to take care of them, and that you will take care of them. Lord, we also pray that you keep our soldiers, our police officers, our firefighters, our ambulance crews, keep them safe so that they may return home after their duty is done. But should you call them home, Lord, guide them to your loving embrace so that they may know your peace. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Death for all of us.
He has seen.
Today's scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. If you are able to stand, please do so. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and place my fingers in the mark of the nails, and place my hands in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which were not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Wow. You know, it's kind of amazing the power of those last few verses of "We have seen the Lord." A little bit earlier, when I was talking with the kids, I had mentioned about the disciples being holed up in a room, locked in, because they were afraid. You know, a lot of us move right on through the Easter season, and we learn about his trials. We learn about him being beat and tortured. We learn about him hanging from a cross. We learn about him being placed in a tomb, and all of a sudden, he's not there. He's risen. And we go straight through, kind of somber and yet relaxed. And we get to Easter and yay, everyone's happy and joyous and all that. But we forget that there was a time in between where people really didn't know what in the world was going on. They just didn't. They didn't skip right to this, "Oh, Christ died. Oh, hey, he's back." They went through a time where even after he was back, even after Mary went through and told everyone, "Hey, I saw him, he's around," that they were like, "Hey, we don't believe that. We're not quite so sure about that. We don't know. Yeah, he said he was coming back, but he's not here." And at this time, they were very fearful for their lives. This is why they were locked in a room. They didn't want to get caught. They didn't want to get killed. They didn't want to suffer the same fate. So they locked themselves up in a room, hoping to protect themselves. And you know, we never get that sense of fear in this season. Yes, we're sad. We learn, and we understand how important this was. But we know the end of the story. We have the book. We can go to the next chapter and say, "Hey, guess what? Everything's all right. We're cool. Everything's good. But the disciples, they didn't have that. Even though Jesus told them, hey, I'm coming back. Even though he told the Pharisees, in 3 days, I'll have that temple rebuilt. The disciples still didn't know. They were sitting there, cowering. They were afraid. They didn't know what was going to come next. They didn't know how they were going to go on. That fear was like real. It was the same kind of fear as if you were facing a tiger right in front of you. Or if you saw that car careen off of the road towards where you were walking. That kind of fear. We never get that. We kind of skim right on past it and we're happy. But you know what? The amazing thing about that is we have seen the Lord. And he showed up right in the middle of that crowd. And he said, guess what? I'm back. And they were like, yay! Happy. Now we know what to do. You know, most of the time we concentrate in this story on Thomas and doubting. But I think it's important to realize that what the disciples were going through at this time and how they go from, oh my God, my life is over, to, oh my God, it just began. This is amazing. Christ is risen. He's actually here. I could touch him. I could sit here and eat with him and talk with him. And it's amazing. And we're so happy and joyous. But you know, there's another flip side to that too. In that same passage, they mentioned that Jesus looked at him and said, hey, as the Father sent me, so I send you. That's key. That's important. Because we're all happy. And you know, we tend to hold on to things that are important to us. We tend to keep them together. Whether it's money, whether it's our family, whether it's the church, the way things look, the way things feel, we want to hold on to these things that make us happy and joyous and all that. We don't want to let them go. But here it is. Christ is saying, no. Take it out there and show it around. Take it out there and show it around. Sometimes we wonder, okay, where have we seen the Lord, though? Where have we seen the Lord? Anyone? Come on. Participation. If you can't think of a reason or a way that you've seen the Lord, you need to start thinking a little harder. In a child's laughter. Could it be in music? I bet you it could. What else? Nature. How about the rain? You know, most of the time we go thinking, hey, this rain really bites. I wish it would stop. But, you know, if any of you are allergy sufferers, you would know that from the previous weeks, without this rain keeping the pollens down and all that, it's been like really heck on our nasal passages and our Kleenex boxes. But, you know, the rain's, the Lord's there. He's in it. Where else? Anyone? Yeah, most definitely. Where have you all recently seen it most? Think back maybe about a week or so. Confirmation class. I got two examples there. Tristan and William, you want to stand up? Stand up. So, can you see the Lord in them? Go ahead, you can sit down. I can, even though I work with them in youth group. I can still see the Lord in them. Their smiles. We can, I'm sorry? The Living Last Supper. I'm going to throw another one in because he's probably not thinking it right now, but I bet you Fritz sees the Lord in trains.
We see it in the grass. We see it in the pavement. We see it in the car that we drive. We see it when we go out there and there's gas in the car to start it. We see it. We should see it in everything. And if you don't see it in everything, you need to start looking a lot closer at where you see the Lord, because he's all around. He's ever here, ever present. You know, the song that the choir sang is such a beautiful song. But my favorite part of it was the ending, especially when it went into a cappella. But the line reads, "In the beauty of his holiness, living daily in his presence, we have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord." Think about that. In the beauty of his holiness, living daily in his presence. We need to live in his presence. He's always here, so it's not that difficult, but we need to live in it. We also need to remember that we have seen the Lord is something that we should be running out the doors, hollering, "Hey, we've seen the Lord!" It's a happy thing. It's a party, and we need to have that with everyone. We need to make sure that we're not keeping it here, right here in us, or right here in this building. We need to be taking that message. We have seen the Lord, and this is what he's done for us. And this is what he means to me, to everyone out there, beyond the doors. We have seen the Lord. He is risen. Let's make it so, and let's share what we've seen with everyone that we come into contact with. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we go about our lives, help us to remember that seeing you and being a part of your mission is not about keeping things to ourselves. It's about sharing and spreading the love and the good news that we have seen the Lord. Strengthen us as we go about our days so that we may carry that message to all that we come into contact with. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have seen the Lord. He is risen. Let's take that message out there. Amen.